Hey Gary, I'm going to give you feedback on your learning activities assignment in this audio podcast. And so I haven't reviewed the assignment that you submitted, and I have some suggestions and comments and feedback for you. Overall, it's good to see that you have included the articles and the videos because it helps me see more into how you are framing the presentation of content for this course. I want to encourage you to insert the offline activities that you mentioned. I think I may have talked about the astronomy course that I supported early on in the early days of SLN. Having students engage in authentic activities and not just sticking to the computer and simulations simply because they are there and because, the course is online and so the activities should be online, not making that assumption. I think, as I may have said in one of my Breeze presentations, sometimes you want to have the students back away from the computer, go outside and look up and collect some data and come back and report it in the course. In an astronomy course, everybody would be able to do that, regardless of where they are in the world, where they are, in terms of anything, they'd be able to, do that. Take the little walk outdoors and do some actual observations and data collection. So I really want to encourage you to incorporate that into your course. The Starfinder thing sounds really cool. The moon observations are really excellent. I think those are excellent ways to engage students in multi-sensory ways, in ways that make them do real activities, authentic activities in their real lives that are not passive. They're active. They actually have to, get up and do something. And so, from that perspective, those would be very, very good activities to add to your course. I love your module titles. The structure is good overall. Think about how to leverage this assignment in the design of your own course. So, for example, you could take each module that you have detailed here and use it as your course overview, your module overview, or your module at a glance document. You might need to, you definitely need to edit it and adapt it in some ways, but it definitely could be the framework that you could use to set up those overviews for each module. You kind of have a metaphor thing going on, it looks like, with the astronomer training session and the trainee personal profile, which I think is really interesting and really cool. Like, you're trying to engage them in assuming the identity of an astronomer for this course, to think like an astronomer, to try that identity on. You're kind of inducting them into what it is and means to be an astronomer. So it seems like a really cool approach and a cool idea, and I love the metaphorical aspect of it. I don't see that very often. It's very creative. I'm just going to go through module by module and just talk over what I see here in your assignment. For module one, it's a good overview. There is no need to tell them that the scores won't be recorded. It diminishes the importance and the engagement in the activity. I would gently recommend that you not call the what happens in the discussion, do not call it participation. And I did see as I looked through further into Module 2 that you're kind of distinguishing the character of the course discussion from this introductory discussion, and this is the one you're calling participation. And so maybe that works, but I just want to make sure that you have firmly in your mind that the notion of class participation is very, very different from what happens in, you know, an online class discussion. So I think that you do, and I think that, you know, you are distinguishing between this introductory, more socially focused type activity from the more structured course interaction. And you're having two rubrics, I see, for each one. And so that's interesting. I just want to make sure that that is your understanding and what you're doing. Cool that you're breaking them up into small groups. How are you going to do that? How are you going to assign? Are you going to assign them? You know, how are you setting that up? There are some definite, you know, do's and don'ts, I think, to that. So, you know, you want to make sure that you get people a good mix together for the groups. And then I think you're going to have them change groups, which is also good, so that they get the opportunity to interact with others in the course, and the dynamics don't get stale in the group. Pulling off a good small group is not easy, because there's a lot of sort of instructional setup that needs to happen, you know, in terms of how the activity is actually set up, displayed, presented in Moodle. All right, so the rubric is good, that you're having them, that's great. What is the trainee personal file? That sounds interesting. I love your intro discussion question. And I guess that's why I'm wondering why you are distinguishing it, because it's not purely social. You're kind of asking them about, you know, how they can make it relevant to their real life. And, you know, you may even draw into there some prior knowledge. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure why you're distinguishing it from the regular discussion. Really love that discussion question. You would create a Moodle profile rather than establish one. How are you going to set up the discussion about Pluto? Interesting mnemonic tip. This could be a sub-thread in a discussion, maybe, that you actually label tips if you're going to have, I mean, I don't know if this is your only tip, or if you could have sort of like a recurring section where there are tips. Okay, so I see, and it's good to see all of the content that you're thinking about and that you have curated for them, that includes readings and videos, and you also want them to bring in what they learn into the discussion, right? What they learn from reviewing that content. So you're going to need to guide that to make it work so that they really understand, you know, that those readings and viewings aren't optional if they aren't, and that somehow or another you have to account for, they have to account for what they took away from each of the resources that you curated for them. And I'm just wondering, you know, it looks like you have put a lot of energy into collecting and selecting the perfect resources for them. And I just want you to remember that if you do the work, that work, then you're the one who's doing the learning, that it would be valuable for the students to go through that same process that you did, and to somehow give them the opportunity to engage in the activity of resource curation, and the opportunity to share that and contribute that to the class, to locate the stuff and to contribute it to the class. And this can be an activity of co-creation of a library of resources and objects for this astronomy class that can persist beyond this class, that can continue to be collected and updated over time, and giving the students the ability to contribute to that is an engaging process and a deeper learning experience for them. And I just want you to think about that. I mean, I certainly understand wanting to have some materials that you make sure that they see and that you select for them. But I just want you to consider giving them the opportunity to contribute to that as well. Blogs, I love it. I love that you're doing blogs. I don't know exactly. I'm not entirely sure I understand how you're going to be using it, but I'm wondering if it's metacognitive in nature, meaning thinking about what they're learning, how they're learning, how they're applying what they're learning. Love that you're going to use DIGO. Have you set up the group yet? I'd love to see it. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity for them to contribute resources to that group. And maybe you already have thought this about this. So, Second Life, you're thinking about using Second Life. Really? I'm like astounded, blown away. Are you sure? There is such a steep learning curve with Second Life that I am not sure that the costs, the benefits outweigh the costs. It will be very demanding on you to pull off. And I'm wondering, what is the objective that is driving the decision for you to use Second Life? I mean, ordinarily, when I evaluate technology for instructional purposes, I start with my objective, and then I see if there is a tool that will help me achieve that objective in a way that is better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper than any other way. And that's sort of the criteria that I use to evaluate whether or not I should apply a technical solution to an instructional problem. And so, when it comes to Second Life, because the learning curve is so steep, the objective has to really be very, very strong in terms of only being able to be achieved with the cost of having to climb that learning curve. And so, for example, the example I often give is, if you teach a course in race, ethnicity, and inequality, it is not safe to ask the students in your course to cross-dress and go to a local bar to, do some field observations on, gender differences and discrimination and inequality. That is not a safe activity to ask your students to do in order to really fully immerse themselves in the understanding of the complexities of those the issues in that topic. So, you could, though, very safely ask students to go into Second Life and assume a different gender, assume different body types and sizes, assume different species, and then go out into that virtual world and interact and collect data and observations on how people, respond to you, react to you, what happens when you do certain things in certain contexts, and you're perfectly safe, absolutely safe. And so if that is a really fundamental objective of your course, then maybe the climbing that steep curve of getting into Second Life and supporting students to be able to, conduct themselves for that objective is worth it. So I want you, I think that your interest in using Second Life for astronomy is extremely seriously cool, extremely brave, extremely innovative, because I do know that there are tons of sites that are astronomy related in Second Life and that could be used very creatively in your in a course, in an astronomy course. But I just really want you to consider the heavy lift that it will be on you and on your students, and to, make an informed choice and an informed decision that really is, not just technology for technology's sake, but really focusing on the pedagogy and using a tool in the service of the pedagogy and not the other way around. Although, experimenting it is cool too, and has its merits. So I'm not going to discourage you from doing this. I just want to make sure that you are up for it and prepared and understand the challenges. So I took a group of 30 PhD candidates into Second Life for a lecture. And the prep for that and the, and it was a synchronous activity, so it wasn't like they just all went and did it on their own time. I actually had set up a speaker and had set up a room and had set up, the speaker did a presentation, and then we all went off to separate areas to do small group discussions on the presentation and then came back and asked the presenter questions. And the amount of work for that one activity was enormous, and I totally loved every minute of it, but all of the students hated it, and I had a lot of technical difficulties, and I even had two helpers when I actually ran the event. I had two people helping me to move students, get students to where they were supposed to be and to move students to the small group locations. And it was like really, really challenging. And I'm really glad that I did it, but, I'm not so sure that the students who participated would have agreed that it was a successful learning experience, let's say. I have a video actually on my blog, I think it's there, that talks a little bit about that experience. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, if a student decides not to participate in that first discussion because it has no points associated with it, is that okay? Here's where I realize that you're having a different rubric for what you're calling participation from what the actual, the discussion, the content-related discussion in the course. And so, I'm just asking the question, do you need to differentiate, really? Do you need to go through the trouble of having two different rubrics and having to explain to students? To me, there's potential for confusion there already because, class participation and discussion are completely different. And so, there's potential for confusion there. So I'm just asking the question to see if you really feel like you need to distinguish. And it may well be, as I look at it, that it makes sense. And so I can wait to see how you actually set this up in your course shell to give you further feedback. So some general questions that I'm, as I'm looking, sort of overall, where do the students ask questions if they have them? Where is there a class community area for peer-to-peer networking, social support, the ability for students to exercise their teaching presence to help other students out. Where is that area located in the course? And where are you going to collect feedback? I'll talk more about that when I get to Module 8. For Module 2, let's go on to that one. Ooh, I love that they are going to get to find and to teach in Module 2. I love that you have articulated it in that way. I think that is excellent. Discussion brings in the readings video and Google Earth. Cool. Good. Instructions for Google Earth. Oh, that's going to be in the journal. I see. Is the journal the same thing as the blog? If so, when you have them set up the blog, you need to make sure that you refer to it as their journal. Otherwise, it's confusing. You know, nomenclature, consistency in nomenclature is really important. And you mentioned a blog up there in Module 1, and now it's being called a journal. I think it's the same thing. I'm not sure, though, because they're labeled differently. You need to write a better guiding question for the journal activity, and of course it needs a rubric, which I'm sure you've already considered. Journal activity, I need to understand better. I need to really, is it metacognitive in nature, or is it a place where they document observations, or what is the purpose? What is the objective with that journal? How are you going to break them up into groups logistically again? Will you have them change groups? I think I read that you would, and that's good to give them an opportunity to interact with others in the course. I love that you're having them add to the resources and the content. To be a discussion, this activity needs to have an excellent discussion starter. Otherwise, it's just going to be a written assignment with some forced interaction over it. And as I'm looking at your discussion there, I am a little concerned about it devolving into a simple, you know, short answer or short essay assignment, when what I really hope for you is that you can have some really excellent interactions, have the students have some really excellent interactions on this topic. Just think about it. The portfolio project seems interesting. I'll need to see how that's set up and the instructional cues and instructions and the places in the module with the labels. Let's see how you set that all up. And I'm hoping and want to be sure that you're going to let people see each other's work so that they can be exposed to others and enhance their learning and their perspectives by being able to view other people's work. It's be a great opportunity for some peer evaluation to actually catalyze that sort of cross-fertilization. Glad, excellent that you're going to have rubrics. I can't wait to see them. Let's go to Module 3. Good, I see that you will have them move to different groups, and I'm wondering if you're going to assign them and how you're sort of going to do that. What is the discussion starter? Again, I'm concerned that this is a written assignment or will devolve into a written assignment with little interaction, just presentation and forced responses. Again, is it a journal or a blog? Are there two things? Is it one thing? You mean that they need to cite a resource, right? Not sure where I saw that, but somewhere here in Module 3, you referred to you need to use resources to support your list, and I think what you mean there is that you want them to cite the resources that they used to create the list. So I can wait to see how you actually lay this activity out. I would like to suggest that you provide examples for this. for actually all of your activities, whether it's the journal activity, the discussion, or the portfolio, students, in addition to the rubric, are going to need to see some exemplars so that they can know better how to apply the rubric, what it is that you're looking for more specifically. It gives them additional information and guidance. And, you know, maybe the first time you teach the course, you don't have, authentic examples to show them from, past students, because it's the first time you're doing it, but you certainly can mock one up for them to make sure that they can see what it is that you're expecting more clearly. The astronomy portfolio project sounds really interesting. Make sure that they can see each other's proposals. You might want to use the Q&A forum in Moodle for that, and that allows people to make their submission before they can see anyone else's submission. So, in other words, when they go there, they won't see anything until they actually submit their assignment, and then they'll be able to see everybody else's. And that's the Q&A forum in Moodle. We haven't used that one yet in our course, but we will. I'm trying to model all of the different forums in our course so that you can see them in action. Let's go to Module 4. Watch for typos. You have a sentence there, how large the sun is, rather than id. I wanted to tell you there's some excellent NOVA videos on the sun and the universe, and one in particular we watched recently called Secrets of the Sun. It's extremely good, and I bookmarked a bunch of resources for you in DIGO with the tag astronomy, some other tags, but if you look at the tag astronomy, you'll find them. Those NOVA videos are extraordinary, and I have a citizen scientist for a husband, and so we are always tapped into science-related shows like NOVA, so I just wanted to share that with you. I need to know more about the astronomy portfolio project. Is it written? Is it like a written assignment? Are they compiling a bunch of documents? Is it a paper? Portfolio seems to me that it means that they're collecting stuff and putting it into some sort of a collection of documents. And I'm wondering if there is a way for them, I don't know, and you may have thought about this already and have it planned, but I'm wondering if they can incorporate other multimedia, multisensory presentations to demonstrate their learning to you and give them some choice and flexibility about how they make their thinking and learning visible to you and have them be able to explore and innovate and be creative, perhaps with skills that they have or freedom to explore tools that they may want to or be aware of or know how to use that are not like your traditional, writing a paper kind of a thing. And the more that you can give options and freedom to them and the more that you can have them, use tools that are multi-sensory, the more engaging the activity is for them and the deeper they're learning. So give it some thought. I can see them creating collages or creating slideshows. There's tons of slideshow generators out there. There's collage generating tools. There's video sort of compilation type tools that are out there that could be used, and I think you would be very pleasantly wowed by what your students might come up with if you give them some latitude and some freedom in terms of how they make their learning and their thinking visible to you. Module 5, the virtual lab, is cool. They're going to build a solar system. Sounds interesting. The observations in the journal sound cool, too. Listing the characteristics of outer planets that they get straight from the articles and resources you provide is not a discussion, and it's not particularly engaging. But what you will get is, you know, your discussion starter and a series of, you know, at the same level responses to that, and then, you know, if you acquire it, you'll get some forced responses to the posts that the students make to each other. So I want to ask you what the objective is of this particular discussion, and what are the big questions that you want them to grapple with? What will provoke thought? What will provoke interaction? What is, you know, somewhat provocative that they could think about and talk about with each other in this particular discussion? And I would say the same would be true of a couple of your other discussions, that you need to make them less written assignments and more interactive and engaging. For module 6, they're going to build a star. That sounds cool. And they're going to have tour observations. So you're actually having them take a real-life tour of a planetarium and come back and report on that in the class, which I think is extremely cool to have that kind of an offline activity. I'm wondering if you have, and you must have, it's just not listed here, that there's a rubric for the portfolio activity. For module 7, the second life activity is to go to a planetarium. So here's where I'm, you know, concerned that getting everybody into second life for this one activity, I'm just not so sure about. So give that some additional thought, okay? For module 8, how are they going to use the profile to say farewell? And is there an interaction that you can devise around the portfolio project? So they've done these projects, you know, throughout the course, and they need a chance to present them and to interact over them. And, you know, possibly say, you know, what's the one biggest takeaway from that project, or the thing that surprised you most about that project? And then ask, you know, them to review other projects and the other projects, and just, you know, comment on the same thing. What's the one biggest thing that you learned from viewing your classmates' project? Or the one more surprising thing that you learned, or, you know, something like that. Collecting descriptive feedback is more than an open-ended reflection on, you know, how did the course go, or what did you think of the course. If you ask that kind of a question, what you'll get is, it was fine. So check the manual for suggested questions to use. To set up a survey that you can then use to collect specific feedback that you can then use to improve the design and your own facilitation of the course. It's really a very specific way to collect very specific information from the students as they are completing your course, to give you information that you can use to revise, review, and improve the course in multiple ways. Here's my question to you. How are you going to provide closure to the course? What is there something that you can do to kind of wrap the course up for the students in some way? There's lots of different ways it could be done. Why not have their final reflection be their final discussion together rather than separately in the journals? It might be interesting to see Like I was saying, you know, when I was talking about the portfolio activity, it might be interesting to ask them in terms of the course, what surprised them most about the course. And leave it open-ended like that, because some of their responses may be about astronomy, but some of them may not be. I think that would be extremely interesting. You could also ask, what did they learn specifically about astronomy, and what will they carry forward with them, and what do they see now? I mean, you asked them in the beginning, how do they see astronomy relating to their real life? Now asking them the same question again at the end would be interesting. Would be an interesting question to discuss. So overall, Gary, you've done an excellent job. I am really looking forward to seeing how you set this all up in your course shell.